You're listening to KTWH, and we have Pete Boulay with me via phone, climatologist for the Minnesota DNR. Thank you, Pete, for being with us this morning in place of Kenny.
Oh, good morning. Happy to be here.
Yeah. Good morning to you, too. And it is a good morning. It's looking like another beautiful day. We've had a little bit of clouds and some spitting rain this week, but you know, it just seems like the glory continues. And by the lake, there's still lots of color, even. I don't think, you know, you look at the map and you'd think everything was down. But we always get kind of an extended fall right by the North Shore, so we're happy about that. So let's see. Let's first talk about what's coming up, which is the critical spooky night of Halloween coming up. There's definitely parties planned for the weekend and some trick-or-treating on Monday. So what can we expect?
Well, you know, like, man, I'm glad you mentioned the fall colors because you will get a chance to still see them as long as the wind doesn't blow those leaves down. It'll probably be a little breezy today.
Yeah.
There's a warm wind blowing. Southwest winds coming up for today, and that kind of winds will continue, you know, at least that direction. And you're right. It looks like you know, gorgeous weather, really running about 10 degrees above normal, not only through the weekend, but right through the beginning of next week, too, including Halloween. And, you know, really no big storms in sight for at least till next Friday, maybe.
That's pretty amazing. I noted earlier this morning, because I know we've talked a couple times with Kenny about how nights are warming faster than days as far as just a changing climate. And I noted that for today, our high is about normal, 1 degree above normal, but our low is 10 degrees above normal. So I don't know, just interesting to notice. We're having a warm fall. There's just with that one little exception, about a week we had a bunch of snow and this and that. So do you have any? Well, first of all, I think we should take note that how many years ago? 31 years ago.
Yeah.
Right about now, it started to snow and didn't stop till there was about 3 feet on the ground where I lived in Ely, and I forget what happened down in the cities.
Oh, we had a storm down here, too. Yeah, they still, everybody, if you were around in 1991, everybody talks about the Halloween storm. You know, it kind of starts to feel a little bit about like bringing up pumpkin spice this time of year, but you know, if you went through it, it was very noticeable. And luckily for Two Harbors, there was an excellent weather observer in town at the wastewater treatment plant who documented blow-by-blow the storm.
Really?
And, yeah. So it's fortunate to have such a nice record. And you know what? There should be like a little statue in downtown Two Harbors that you had the most snow from the Halloween storm. Despite how much people from the Twin Cities talk about the Halloween storm, we only had 28.4 inches here. You guys had 36 inches.
Really?
Yeah.
Funny. Well, I wasn't here then, but that is. We had a lot where we were too. Probably close up in Ely, but that's.
Yeah, Ely was definitely in the zone of the storm.
Yeah.
But doesn't it start snowing in Ely by then anyway? So you know. I'm kidding.
Well, you know, I feel like a little bit special because that was my first. I had just moved. I had never been north of Chicago before September of 1991. So that was actually the first snow in Minnesota I ever experienced. And it forever colored my view of Minnesota as this gorgeous blanketed place in the winter. I know that we did not see ground again in Ely until April after that storm. And
you're right. It's interesting. It did melt in the southern part of the state. It was completely gone before Thanksgiving. But in the north, including Two Harbors, that snow, it did go down, but it stayed around to mid-March. It was still on the ground.
Yeah.
Parts of it. The remains, I guess. So, but it was memorable snow. And for the month, Two Harbors had over 8 inches of liquid from not only that storm, but some other storms that happened during the month. So that's also the wettest November on record for Two Harbors.
Oh, fascinating. Well, it looks like we're in for something different this year. I see sun. I see 50s and 60s. Wind. It's been very windy. I don't know. Is that going to be part of our week as well?
Well, you know, the wind's going to be around, but, and even on Monday, the winds could be gusting up to about 15 miles an hour. But the high temperature near about 58 degrees would probably be the warmest Halloween since 2007, where it hit 59. If we get a little warmer, let's say we hit 60, it'll be the warmest Halloween since 1999. So that's kind of nice. We've had kind of a string of coolish Halloweens in recent years, you know, high temperatures in the 30s, and that's a little chilly. So it's nice to have a mild Halloween.
Yeah.
Once in a while.
And then just don't worry, you're not the only one I'm asking this. I'm asking around, but do you have any commentary about daylight savings? I know that there's a lot of question about that this year and following years.
Well, I'll tell you what. I am all in favor of putting off the sunset on Halloween, because when I started here at the State Climate Office, it was still the old system where we were already fall back before Halloween, and I always dreaded the drive home because it was dark by 5 o'clock, and there's trick-or-treaters all over the place, and I'm trying to drive home from work. So I guess the debate is, when do you want to pick the happiest point of daylight savings time? But I was very happy that we pushed it into November, because at least I wasn't driving home in Halloween even in the dark, and that was... That was my tiny little bit on that. The rest of it, you could go back and forth, is how dark do you want it to be in the morning, too.
So, right.
I see both appeals to it, I guess.
Yeah. Yeah, I know that we have a daughter in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan, and she looked at some map where someone had determined, based on some criteria, that the UP would definitely lose with daylight savings, because they won't see... daylight till like 10 in the morning, since they're in Eastern time.
Oh, wow.
They're already on the far western edge of the Eastern time zone, and I guess the students at Michigan Tech would rather be able to have their second class in the light. They already have given up the first class. And then I asked, you know, but then you get light in the afternoon, you know, you get to go skiing more, and it did not ring. People like light in the morning, is my conclusion.
Yeah, I tell you what, any 8 a.m. class in college is a difficult class to make.
Yeah, light or no light.
Yes, light or no light, I don't know if it really mattered. So just getting to class was the challenge. You know, I don't remember a whole lot of windows in those classrooms either. So I went to St. Cloud State, and in my physics class, I don't remember it being very sunny inside.
I know. Well, that's why I was kind of wondering. Maybe you just assumed be in the dark and have that light in the afternoon. Right. I think, you know, I do think a lot of it comes down to, you know, morning people and evening people. And and then, you know, a lot of people are not on a fixed schedule. Anyone who's retired, young families, you know, and I think they're just going to slowly adjust to whatever the daylight is. You know, you get up at 5 or you get up at 6, the number doesn't matter as much as how close it is to getting light. But who am I to say? I'm obviously not making the decisions either. So,
yeah. Well, it's something to keep an eye on. You know, I have to say, in the spring, it sure feels a big difference when we spring ahead. I mean, it's like, bam, there's summer. Summer has now begun, even though we're not even near summer. But it's like, okay, now we're on summer light, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It's hard to say.
It is hard to say, because that makes me wonder if we miss light. Like, I'm all about getting the most light possible. But anyway.
Now you got me something to think about, gotcha. Thank you.
Any more extended predictions or big picture before we sign off here?
Well, I'll say this. Kenny and I both watched the models looking for any gleams of interesting weather on the horizon, and we have a serial disappointment factor going on here. The models keep promising, and the models keep taking away. Right now, if you believe the models, there is some kind of a big storm coming next Friday, and looking at the run after that, it's kind of backed off a bit, but some we'll be watching. When you talk next Friday, we'll have to see if that comes true. We definitely need rain, precipitation of any kind across the entire state now, even up in the north where there's not really a drought, but it's starting to show up. The departures are starting to climb, in the northeast too. Two Harbors about an inch and a half, 1.3 inches short of normal now since September 1st. So, you know, could use some precipitation pretty much everywhere. So it does look like there could be a change in the weather pattern, but boy, we've seen this before, and then what happens is we get a little bit of rain and we're right back into a dry week. So, you know, we'll have to wait and see. If you're looking at the Climate Prediction Center, we're in a La Nina. That'll continue this winter. If the old school method of La Nina means that we'll have a late, strong finish to winter, January, February, but kind of a weak start. So that's, you know, we take that for what it's worth, but you have to hang your hat on something.
Okay. Thanks. That was a really succinct recap, and we'll be curious to see how that pans out. Thanks so much, Pete, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again.
Okay, take care. Gotcha.
Bye-bye.
All right.
That was Pete Boulay from the Minnesota Climatology Department at the Minnesota DNR that you're listening on KTWH.